What's my name? What's my name? What's my name?
Welcome to Mr. Chaz's Leadership, Parenting, and Teaching Podcast, where I introduce you to the people that can help you on your leadership, parenting, or teaching journey. And today, I have a different episode for y'all. Today's guest is, drumroll please, me. I'm going to be the guest for today. I'm actually at a Conscious Discipline conference. And when I'm at these conferences, I tend to do them by myself. And it's a way for me to process some of the information that we're talking about and we're digesting, and a way for me to kind of take you along on this journey to this conference. This conference is actually just the registration. It's $1,500 for registration. So it's pretty pricey. And I don't really know any teachers that actually pay for the registration themselves. Usually there's a company or a grant that they're using to get to these conferences. So this is not something that's very accessible, but I do want to. Someone brought this to my attention that there are actually scholarships that Conscious Discipline gives out for every single event. And you can apply for these scholarships if you go on the Conscious Discipline event page and apply. You can apply as a parent. I know there's often not very many parents who come to the conference on their own accord too, and they often don't have grants. But parents do sometimes come on a scholarship. And this is something that would be so valuable for parents. There are obviously so many parents in the room in these conferences, and that is definitely a big touching point in when we talk about guiding children and the stuff that's been passed down to us and what's been on our playlist and our CD-ROM. So I did want to let you know that before I dive into this. And I want to actually focus today, because the first day of CD1, and I'm at CD1, the Infant Toddler Institute, so it focuses on the younger children, kind of like the 0 to 3. And so for the first day, really first full day, we really just talked about the brain states and what's important to know, what's important to understand about the brain states is that it's a way for you to better be able to assess the behavior that your children are exhibiting, and for you to better be able to respond, to know exactly what need your child needs to be met at different times, because we don't always, our needs can are not just changing with the years, but also with the months, with the days, with the moments. And it can be hard to really give children what they need in these moments. So I'm going to help you with that. Although this has been a pretty big introduction, because I'm hoping to do some other podcast episodes, and hopefully this is you understand where this is coming from. You get the context now. I'm going to try to, in a concise but also informative and detailed manner, tell you about the brain states, and tell you kind of what the needs are in these different brain states, and how, what actually to do, actual things to do. Because I just had a whole day of being at a conference. I need to decompress and relax along with everyone else. But before I do that, I want to be helpful to those out there listening, because not everyone is able to pay $1,500 for registration and fly out to Florida or Cincinnati or wherever they're having a conference and pay a hotel room to learn and take a week off of work. So here you go. Let's talk about the brain states starting now. So you got your three different brain states. You have your survival state, you have your emotional state, and you have your executive state. And what I always say, the important things to remember with these states is that the brain develops bottom up. So in that order, survival, emotional, executive, and the brain processes information bottom up. So your survival state is going to get information first. And it's important for it, because your survival state is where that reactivity is, right? And And sometimes when we talk about these different states, people can think about them as good or bad, but they are not good or bad. They just are. And they can actually be very helpful depending on the situation, right? And it's, you know, these states are very much almost really tell the story of our growth and evolution as a human species, and how your survival state is going to be more important if you're in an environment where you are constantly worried about living or dying, right? The main thing your brain wants you to do is to survive. So that survival state will often hijack kind of the rest of the parts of the brain to focus on survival, right? Because that's the main thing. And so survival skills, the way you can identify a child or a person is in a survival state is that they're using their survival skills, which are fight, right? You know, kicking, hitting, you know, maybe biting, flight, running away. Often children, you know, run under the tables, or they turn away from you and try to move away from you. Flight, fawn, which is like that people pleasing. You know, imagine if someone put a gun to your head and said, "Give me all your money." You'd say, "Okay, yeah, take my money. Just do whatever you needed to. Just please don't hurt me." Right? That's fawn. It's the people pleasing, the survival skill, and then freeze. And freeze is, yeah, like it sounds, is, you know, you're frozen. You kind of shut down and frozen. And so these are actually really, these are protective skills, right? These are skills that we have to protect us, but they can be very hard to navigate in our modern world because we have a very old brain. And sometimes, you know, our brain, what triggers our survival state is perceiving threat. Right. And sometimes we perceive threat when someone is telling us what to do. We were perceiving threat and we can be triggered in a survival state, or when maybe we're hungry, or maybe someone is hitting us, or maybe there's lots of things that can trigger that perceived threat. And, you know, the trauma that we've experienced in our lives have so much to do with how we can be triggered into a survival state, right? And another important thing to know is that this is really a metaphor for what's happening in the body brain, right? So the fight, flight, fawn, freeze, right? These are survival state skills. And one of the important things that you can also do to identify if a child is in a survival skill or not, is in a survival state or not, is, you know, are they giving you eye contact, right? You know, when a person is in a survival state, they have a tendency to avoid eye contact. Eye contact is going to be very hard. You know, touch, physical touch may be very hard. So these are things that are important when trying to identify if a child is in a survival state. Another thing is that the body kind of tenses up, right? And it kind of tenses up. That could be a person, a child, or even maybe you as an adult who's in a survival state, because us as adults can also be in a survival, emotional, and executive state as well. So that is what is important. And then I'm going, after I talk about how to identify these different states, then I'm going to talk about what you can actually do in these different states to help children, right? To give them what they need so that they can be successful and they can use the skills or practice the skills and learn, which is really what we want children. We expect children to do a lot of the time, and we hope that they do. So the next state is the emotional state. And again, the brain developed bottom up. So this is these states, the survival state. Children come equipped with their survival state. They come born for it, right? Already, they got that survival state, and it's already there. Now, the emotional state, that's something that's still going to be developing. And as they get older, you'll see it develop more and more. But this is... When you see that a child or a person is emotional, kind of like how it sounds, right? Now, in this, what's different than the survival state is you may notice they may start to use more words, right? Or maybe a little bit more intentional. Now, I'm at the Infant Toddler Institute, and so, you know, we know infants, you know, they're not really using words very much, if at all. Same thing with toddlers, right? And so even you know, they may not be using words, but maybe they're pointing with intention, like, while pointing. You can't see me pointing, but like maybe they're pointing towards something, right? And so that's something that's like, right? They're pointing, but there's a little bit more awareness there. There's a little bit more consciousness about almost kind of what they're wanting on what they're trying to get, but they're still emotional. And even in this state, it is hard to access those executive skills, which we'll talk about soon. And what's also important to know is that when you are in this state, the brain, like, funnels its resources, goes down to that state, right? So like if a child is in a survival state, the resources in the brain are going to go down to use survival skills, and the resources for executive skills, they're not going to be able to access, because all the resources are kind of down in the brain, so to speak. So that is an important thing to be able to identify and to know. Child's emotional, but you're maybe using some words. You can tell there's a little bit more consciousness as opposed to maybe what a infant or toddler might sound like when they are in an emotional state of, or in a survival state, and not using words of, you know, that's kind of uncontrollable cries. You're not going to be able to, you know, they're not making eye contact, and it's tough. It's more intense, right? So these are things that are ways to identify the emotional state. Now, and when the survival state, the question that the child is asking, the child's brain is asking is, am I safe? Now, when a child's in an emotional state, the question that their brain is asking is, do I belong? Do I feel loved? Do I feel connected to this family, this school family, or my nuclear family, or whatever, or this community? And that's really important for us to know, because for a child to move up to this executive state that I'm about to talk about, they need to feel the answer. Their body needs to feel yes to those answers. They need to feel safe. They need to feel connected and like they belong, right? And so it's not enough for us to just say you're safe, right? Because we can say you're safe, what's wrong? Like those words, you know, we communicate more with our body language and our tone of voice. And so communicating and following through and creating an environment of safety so that they can answer throughout the day that question, because they'll constantly ask, their bodies constantly ask, am I asking that question, am I safe? Do I feel safe, right? And so we need to give them that felt sense of safety. And children, you know, for parents who are, you know, dropping their children off at school, especially beginning of the year, it's sometimes it can take time for children to feel safe, right? And not just physically safe, but also emotionally safe, so that they can access their executive skills. Now let's go to the executive state. Now this state is not this, you know, this is where the prefrontal lobes, this state, these lobes are not fully developed till 25, 26, right? So they got some time, like there's a point of empathy there where they're not exhibiting these executive skills or showing these executive skills. Know that this is the time that they're practicing, and what we need to do to teach them these executive skills is to help them regulate and connect with them up to their executive state so that we can kind of lend them our executive state and they can learn. So then we can teach them the skills that we have, right? And so in the executive state, like, we have these executive skills, right? But I'll name the executive skills. A way that in conscious discipline we talk, there's lots of acronyms out there, but one acronym that conscious discipline uses is a top wife makes good tea. And, you know, executive, there's quite a few executive skills, so sometimes it can be hard to remember them all. So an acronym can help. You can make your own. If you look on the internet, you can find your own. I can understand why that's acronym may not feel good to you. You know, we'll find your own, but I'm going to use this one for right now just for purposes of you knowing what the executive skills are, but feel free to find your own acronym. So it's attention, time management, organization, prioritization, working memory, impulse control, flexibility, empathy, metacognition, which is like thinking about thinking, like kind of self-talk and talking to yourself, goal achievement, task initiation, and emotional regulation, right? And working memory is like the ability to hold information in your head, right? And so these are skills that we ask children to use so often. You know, a child might hit another child and then we go over there and like, we're about to give them the business. We're about to tell them how what they're doing is wrong and they should know better. And they run underneath the table. Or maybe even we are trying to regulate, we are trying to compose ourselves, but they still don't feel safe for whatever reason, maybe past experiences that might not have anything to do with you. Or, you know, there's lots of reasons why a child may not feel safe, right? And we have to work very hard of creating routines and predictability and lots of other things to help children feel safe. I'm about to go into that more in detail soon. But that is... those are the executive skills. And what we have a tendency to do in these situations when children run underneath the table is we'll go into there and be like, we'll go into the table and be like, you shouldn't hit. You know better. You need to come out here and apologize to your friend or, you know, such and such and do all these things. And we're expecting them to use their executive skills of, you know, impulse control, of empathy, right? We're expecting them to use these executive skills, but they're in a survival state at this moment, right? Or they may be in an emotional state, and so they don't have access to these skills. We're asking children to use executive skills when they're in a survival state, and it's just not something that children are able to do, right? And so it's very important that we help them move up in their brain. Now, how do we do that? This is just like, okay, well, how do we do? You told us the problem, what's the solution? So there's another acronym that conscious discipline uses of kind of the survival, the skills to use when a child is in a survival state, right? It's called NARCS, right? I'll briefly go over this. And NARCS stands for noticing, assertiveness, routines with pictures, composure, safe place, and safekeeper, right? And I think in the upcoming days, we'll probably go deeper into detail of this. I just want to give you a crash course on the brain state, so I don't want to give you too much at once. But this is going to be kind of like a series, so check out the other episodes if you're looking for more detail. But noticing, one of the things that we practice conscious discipline is saying things like, you know, your eyes are going like this, and your face is going like this. Right. And the reason why we don't say is your eyes are scrunched up and your face is frowning is that we're trying to encourage children to, you know, look at us and give us eye contact, right? Not forcing it, but trying to encourage it and trying to kind of create that in somewhat of an organic way, right? Without telling them what to do, because they'll likely, if we say, look at me, they're likely going to be resistant to that, right? But if we say your face is going, we notice them, help them feel seen in that moment, they're likely going to look up at us and be like, I'm going like what? And they look up at us. And when we are able to kind of create that eye contact, there's an opportunity for us to kind of give us, to kind of download calm, as we say in conscious discipline, and kind of share our calm, composed energy. Right. And that at that point, they look at us. At that point, we breathe. In through the nose, out through the mouth. And what's most important to know is that your out-breath needs to be longer than your in-breath, because it's going to allow for more regulation, more of a regulating experience. Your body will regulate more. So out-breath longer than your in-breath. In through the nose, out through the mouth. Keeping your composure, that's C in NARCS. I mentioned earlier, their routines. We find safety in routines and predictability, especially young children. I mean, just think about the pandemic and how unsafe it felt. Yes, there was the real threat of a virus, but also part of what created uncertainty and fear and just not safety is that there wasn't a lot of predictability during that time of what was going to happen day to day. Am I going to have my job the next day or next week? What is this job going to look like moving forward? The unpredictability and the lack of routine put a lot of us in a survival state during that time. So that's important. And, you know, we're going to talk more about assertiveness and being assertiveness, because that's a whole, I think that needs to be a whole podcast episode in itself. But us adults using the skill of assertiveness. All right, now that we know, how we're creating this felt sense of safety with children who are in a survival state, now they've moved up, right? And now they're in an emotional state. Good for them. Good for you. You did it. You composed yourself and downloaded calm into, your child so that they can move up in an emotional state and access more skills. That was helpful. And that was also probably pretty hard to do. Now, what am I using there? I'm using the skill of encouragement, which is actually in the acronym for how to help children in the emotional state. And the acronym for the emotional state is REJECT. Ritual, which stands for rituals, encouragement, jobs, empathy, choices, and the school family. Those rituals and routines, and we talk about kind of connection rituals and conscious discipline. We call them I love you rituals, but they're basically little moments of connection that you create, that you do ritually. It's not something you do new every time, but you have a ritual, and this is going to be really helpful, especially for like dropping off for, and actually that's something I want to not drop off for, the instructor, Elizabeth. I liked her reframe in how, instead of saying drop off and pick up, because she said, they're not Amazon packages. So, it's not mail. It's not, they're not a package. They're people. Changing the language to arrival and reunion, right? To really also reinforce the importance of like, that's the role that, parents play in this, and that reunion, and really focusing on what we're looking forward to, right? Those rituals, and Dr. Becky Bailey has a whole book of I Love You rituals. She has a Spanish version that fits with the Spanish culture, and so there's a lot of nursery rhymes that are culturally fit for Hispanic culture. And then there's the original I Love You rituals that's English that have also, it's the old, same nursery rhymes we grew up with, but they're adapted to be more healthy and helpful nursery rhymes, because I don't know if you've looked into any of the nursery rhymes that we grew up with, but many of them have pretty awful meanings behind them around like death. And like Ring Around the Rosies, Black Plague, right? That's about the Black Plague. And we don't really want to, that's not something we really need to focus on or be reminded of when we sing that song. And so that song is actually focused, intentionally created, it's same kind of tone, but just words have been changed to focus on more helpful messages. So I encourage you to get the I Love You Rituals book. That's something you're struggling with. And it also has all the four components of connection: touch, eye contact, a playful situation, and presence, right? And so rituals. And so, and what the survival state, what they need is safety, and what the emotional state, when we're in emotional state, they need is connection, right? And so the rituals provide a moment of connection. Encouragement, I showed you I gave an example of what that could sound like. I did a whole little 3 or 4 minute video about encouragement and how to do that in a helpful way. A lot of us grew up with praise that's not so helpful, of just like, you're so smart, you're the nicest person in the world, and that kind of praise can actually be counter productive to our goals, and sometimes accidentally cause harm, because children now, they feel like they have to live up to, you know, being the smart, genius, perfect little angel, as opposed to focusing on what the child actually did and the effort. So if you want to learn more about that, go to any of my Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, you know, YouTube. And there is, I have a whole video about that. Empathy, not going to go too much into it. Oh, jobs, giving children jobs, empathy, choices, and the school family. I could go deep into each one of those things, but I'm going to actually touch very lightly on it. Jobs help children feel like they're contributing to the whole and that they have value, which helps them feel like, again, that they belong in that community. Empathy, one of the phrases that we use here is, you want it next time. You wanted a toy, next time ask for a turn, or next time say turn please, you know, put your hand out like this, say turn please. Choices, two positive choices, instead of saying you need to come to circle time or you're not doing recess for the rest of the day, right? That's not two positive choices. That's really coercion. That's not even a choice. It's a threat, right? Two positive choices is like, you can choose to do circle time or you can choose to read a book at the table, right? Two positive choices there. You can choose to, you know, come to circle time, or you can choose to play with, you know, this toy over here. Do, in my mind, I said Montessori work because I was thinking about being in a Montessori classroom, and sometimes I'd make that an option. So, and the school family, right? And that's just that connected to the school family, and just that emotional climate, that positive emotional climate of the school family, helps us move up in our brain to our executive skills, so that we can access all of those skills of attention, time management, organization, prioritization, working memory, impulse control, flexibility, empathy, metacognition, goal achievement, task initiation, and emotional regulation. Okay, cool beans. And in these moments, they're really seeking connection. Connection is the key here. And even in every part of reject, really the theme is really connection. Connection, connection, connection is what's really important there, right? For young children, right, infantod, it can be as simple as, you did it, right? And we can expand it even more. Again, go to my encouragement video if you want to learn more. And then your executive state, right? And this is when children are asking themselves, what can I learn? And they're open to learning. Their brain is, you know, open for business, open for learning. They're willing and ready to learn a new skill, right? They're able to reflect on what happened and come up with a plan about maybe what happened, what to do next time, right? And, you know, and we might even focus on what we don't want first, but they're more open to hearing and us relinquishing things of what they do want, right? Or just, they might say something like, I don't want him to touch me, right? And we might relinquish to say, so you want him to keep his hands to himself, right? And then going to problem solving, say you want, or please keep your hands to yourself, right? Or I don't like it when you touch me, please keep your hands to yourself. Thank you, right? All those things, right? When children are in executive state, when people are in executive state, there's so much more opportunity for, and the acronym here is SPACE, right? For SPACE, solutions, positive intent, seeing the best in other people, children even seeing the best in other people, for the academics, right? For us to do all the academic stuff, right? A lot of times people say, I don't want to do conscious discipline because I don't have time for it. And you know, but meanwhile, they're spending half of their time dealing with, you know, power struggles with children in emotional state, with trying to keep everyone safe. But, you know, when children are in a survival state, and if we did this conscious discipline stuff up front, we would have so much more time for the academic stuff, right? And consequences too, right? These are times where we can really reflect on the consequences of our actions, right? The natural consequences that have happened, right? And ask, okay, did they might come up to you and they say they fell, like, did you like that? No, it hurt, right? And so then that's an opportunity to kind of reflect and talk about what happened, and maybe we think of some solutions of what we can do next time not to trip over a chair in the classroom, right? And maybe they will be more able to come up with ideas and suggestions for that when they're in executive state. And then the E stands for the just executive skills. They're able to access the executive skills. Right. And so these are the tools that we can use, and we can kind of go into problem solving. And this is what they really need when they're in executive state. They need this problem solving so that they can kind of learn and adapt these executive skills that we're teaching them. And then that can be a part of their, you know, the skills that they have. And these executive skills will help regulate. Right. And we do this over and 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 over again. And part of this is really what I'm talking about with what to do in survival and emotional state is co-regulation. When we do this over and over and over and over again, we have more opportunities to teach them executive skills. They are more likely for their brains to create neural pathways to move, to go to their executive skills. They, over time, remember the brain's not fully developed until 25, 26, over time, they will be able to use those executive skills to self-regulate and to regulate themselves when they're in a survival state or in an emotional state, so that they are better at responding as opposed to reacting. And not only in the state where this is good for themselves, but they're also more able and a better place to teach other children and other people these skills. A couple of other phrases that are important is that, the adult's state dictates the child's state. So if I'm in an emotional state, I'm likely going to send the child down into their emotional state or their survival state. If I am in an executive state, now I got a shot of helping a child move up to their executive state. If I'm in a survival state and the child's in a survival state, we're going to be two people just in survival mode, duking it out, right? Someone's going to be fighting. Someone's going to be running away. Someone's going to be people pleasing, or someone's going to be, you know, shutting down, right? And a lot of times when children shut down, sometimes us adults look at it as a win, but really, they're just in a survival state, and if a child is really freezing and that is their response, that is not as much as of a protective factor as if a child is throwing a tantrum or fighting or yelling or hitting and kicking. That is better for the child to do than to shut down in a freeze, because that means they're just whatever trauma that is, or whatever they're experiencing, whatever needs they're not getting met or trauma they're experiencing, they're just going to absorb all of that. If they have a tendency to freeze and shut down, they're just going to absorb all of that, as opposed to a child who is going to push back and fight and say no. And although that doesn't make it easy for us as adults who are trying to guide, especially, you know, multiple children at a time, or even just one child or two children, or just, you know, it doesn't make it easy for us, but these are actually protective skills that they're using, right? Protective mechanisms, really. So this is actually something that is not a bad thing when you see them doing that. This behavior is communication. If we're in executive state, we have a hope to use our executive skills to help them move up to their executive state, and then help them use their executive skills to solve whatever problem that they're experiencing. And so that is a crash course on the brain states. I didn't even go, you know, I could have gone way deeper into this, but I think that's a good start, you know, for you. And I hope as I have laid this foundation, the next episodes will feel more like some of the language you'll be able to connect to a little bit more. And if we're talking about executive or the executive state or emotional state or anything like that, that will, it, you'll have a little bit more context with that. So I hope this was all helpful. The I Love You Ritual book I talked about from Dr. Becky Bailey. All conscious discipline products, you can get free shipping in the States. If you use my promo code CHAZZ23, CHAZZ23, I Love You Rituals is there. The conscious discipline building resilient classrooms, which is something that I recommend for teachers and parents, because there's so much good information here. That is also, you also get that for free shipping. All the information that I just said is more or less in the book. I may have added a few things, and maybe kind of have fused in some of the work of some other people, but it's all the same thing. We're all pretty much saying the same thing. So those are two things that I really, if you and enjoyed this podcast episode, you feel like you learn, you want to learn more, you want to learn on your own, those are two resources that I recommend getting. And if you get them and you know you're reading through it, let me know how it goes. Or even if you get the conscious discipline book, you're like, I'm having this problem, what chapter should I read, should I focus on, that will help me with this, and I'll tell it to you. Also, something that not a lot of people know is that if you subscribe to my Instagram, you go on my profile and there's like a subscribe thing, then, and you message me on Instagram, I'm always going to respond to you. I get lots of messages on Instagram. I can't respond to everyone. I do try to look at everyone, but sometimes I'm looking at stuff like, I get distracted in the middle of a conference or in a break, whatever, and I'm reading something that someone sent me, and then I get distracted again. I don't come back to it, and it's already read. Like, I don't see it again, and by the time I come back to my inbox, it's already a bunch of messages. But if you subscribe, there's a little icon that's next to your name, and I always make sure to check those. And so really, you just get priority in my inbox if you subscribe to my Instagram. So hope all these resources were helpful for you. This is really first full day of CD1, Conscious Discipline 1, Infant Toddler, coming to you live from Orlando. And well, I guess not live, but I hope all this has been helpful for you. And I hope I can stay consistent enough to do one of these every day. But if not, I'm glad that you were here for this one. Have a great day. I'm wishing you well. Goodbye.
What's my name? What's my name?
What's my name?